It's real simple. I want you to take a moment. And I want you to look each other in the eyes. I want you to put each other in your hearts forever. Because forever is about to happen here in just a few minutes.
Who do we have left? Britney Spears. Kim Kardashian. Paris Hilton. Yeah, that's what we have to look forward to, Kanye West. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. We're global.
I mean, the lines are blowing up.
Shop, S-H-O-P-P-E.
Well, look at you.
All right, honey, buddy. I'll be right with you. I'm a good guy. If you attack us, I attack you. Here I am. Hello, my name is Brian Hammer Jackson, and you're with the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. My name is powerful. This is a no-win situation.
Kirkland, and I'm on the air with Brian Hammer Jackson, and I do want to have his baby.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome. October 1st, 2013. We made it. We're sliding into Christmas. We're bypassing Thanksgiving. Move over, turkey. Hello, Santa. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. We are frickin' global. My name is Brian Hammer Jackson, and you're not. And you should be happy that you're not. I'm a tortured soul. I'm a dead man walking. I am your worst nightmare, but a happy fantasy. Good morning. Let's introduce everybody. Kelly Corbin, good morning.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing good, thanks.
Yes, you are. You're doing marvelous, Kelly. Thank you so much for all your hard work. Kelly is the executive producer of Brian Hammer Jackson. I don't do anything without her. I haven't changed my underwear in 3 weeks because she told me not to. People around me say thank you. Well, let's go. Jeffrey Bertrand, my bro. How you doing, my friend?
Gobble, gobble, gobble.
I know. Jeffy and I go way back. It's so funny. Yesterday, if you're listening to yesterday's show, Jeff and I, we did this way back. Maybe it happened 3 or 4 months ago when it's Jeff and I, Jeff and I. All right, Jeff, let's get a good show. All right, brother, we're going to get a good show. I don't know what happens. When Jeff and I are together, they want to kick us off of Blog Talk. They do their best to say, get these guys out of here. So Jeff and I first did a show, and all of a sudden, boom, everybody got kicked off. I was by myself. Jeff was going in there like a soldier. I'm with you, brother. I'm not going to leave you, brother. Jeff. And it would be like that continuously through the whole show. And that was the first time about 3 months ago it did that. So Diane had some personal things she needs to take care of. Jeff says, I'm with you, brother. I go, Jeff, we're going to do the show. Get right out, brother. We're going to have a great show. We started off okay, and then Jeff would say, hey, Jeff. Jeff, I'm with you, brother. That's what happened. I'm looking at the time. We're live on the air. I'm going, what am I going to do? I still got like 30 minutes left. Jeff is trying to get in there. I'm with you, brother. I'm not going to leave you. Jeff. And then I looked at Kelly. I go, well, at least I got Kelly. And then when Kelly finally makes it in, I'm thinking, as an executive producer, Kelly's worried about the show. And when Kelly comes on, she's giggling and laughing. Kelly. So that's what happened yesterday. It's live radio. What do I got to do?
No, I love the fact that Cedric was able to call in during that madness.
And the topic of the show was killing Jesus. And Cedric was the first one to say it. See what happens when you talk about Jesus like that? And Kelly said, I knew you were going to take us to hell. So,
<Yeah. laughs>
and Jeff, I talked to Jeff later. Jeff goes, look, let's not talk about politics, Jesus, or anything. They're on us, buddy. They're on us, brother. Well, okay.
It's whenever you do these type of shows, something happens. So there are people watching and listening.
You know, Diane, I believe that, ladies and gentlemen, Diane Mears Dillon, who is also the producer of the show when Brian Hammer Jackson's on, along with Jeff. And Diane, you're actually, at first I didn't think so, Diane, but you're absolutely correct, because I know that you got bounced when we did a very controversial show. You got bounced right away.
Yeah, any controversy is just bye-bye.
It's taboo. You
Damn.
Can't being opened by the man.
I know. I think you're right. They're on us. I mean, and I listen to shows. I listen to my cousin Vinny, and by the way, we have a great guest today. And I listen to a show. I'm listening for, and Vinny's show is smooth. I'm listening to other people. I'm waiting for, hey, what about them? Smooth.
It's just
us.
I mean,
you
must have been like, that.
Go ahead.
He must have been like that camel on that commercial. Mike.
Humpty. It's Humpty.
Yeah, it's tomorrow, but
every day is Humpty.
That's right. We did an ACLU story. Diane got bounced right away.
And I'm still paying for it. They bump me every day at anything that has to do with a 9. So there's something
yeah.
with the number.
Number 9.
You know, it's funny. I guess we'll take it as a badge of honor. The bad boy is on the air, and we don't like what he's saying.
Yeah.
We will
Too
take
bad.
Care of your crew, Miss. Exactly.
Hey, brother.
And so,
I'm
if
serious?
You listen to, bro.
I'm really bummed about this shutdown. We do not get to race this weekend because the BLM will be closed. And
well,
it's a tough race. It's all female drivers. And it's a race for the cure.
Oh, really? Is it for breast cancer?
How bad does that blow?
Yeah. We're going to talk about that. Vinny's coming in. We have a special guest. Vinny Davingo is coming in. Vinny has a very colorful past. Vinny's been a host on Z100, one of the most powerful, largest radio stations in the New York area. He's also acted in one of the most amazing movies around. I mean, he was De Niro and... We can go on and on. Pesci, and he has a lot of good history. At first, I thought, let's have some fun. And I did. I have a cold. You want to take over, Kelly? I have a tickle in my throat, and I have to scratch it. One second.
You need to shove your finger down your throat, then you'll have the flu.
All right, you. I'm away for 1 minute, and look what happens.
Well, I didn't want no dead air.
Well, thank you.
Mike.
Humpty. So, at first I thought, okay, Vinny's also my friend. And I thought, and I'm serious, these are things that went through my head. And I didn't want to tip off my thoughts because they might be listening. And you know our show, you never know what's going to happen until you get on here. I don't even know what's going to happen. So I started things like we could play Mafia Roulette, and I have sound effects. I could put a gun in Vinny's mouth, and if he doesn't answer Truth or Dare, we could blow his brains out.
Aww.
See, Diane's for it.
No, I said, aw. That's not a game.
Oh, like you would. Let's see if you giggle, like you would enjoy it.
I'd probably win.
And then I thought.
Play Password with.
You know, Vinny would be fun to play Password with, wouldn't he? He would be fun to play Password with. If we have enough time, let's play Password with Vinny. So far, the champ is, we have a powerhouse team, Kelly Corbin and Diane Mears-Dillon. Nobody could beat them. If we have time, let's play Password with Vinny, Jeff and Vinny against Diane and Kelly, see if they can still hold the crown. That would be funny.
If we have time, Jeff will have to call in on his phone because I would hear the Password every time.
Okay. If we have time, let's see if we can play Password. That would be funny. Okay, I'm going to shoot on Friday and Saturday. I just have an update. Everybody knows about MVP on demand. And we have gone another step further. Thanks to you, Carrie Brooks. I know you're listening. That's why she's not here today. Because Carrie is shooting commercials for MVP on demand. We have had a lot of wholesalers come to Kelly and say, please, we would like, you know, you to help us out, and we can put your logo on it. It's no big – come on, let's take the blinders off, people. Do you really think Kim Kardashian is making perfume? No, she's putting her name on it. And you think a lot of these dumb actors who are really writing an autobiography – come on, it's called a ghostwriter. So let's quit pretending and say what it is. So we have some wholesalers say we have some great items. We've been looking at items all week, 2 weeks, saying, we don't want to put our name on it. We don't want to put our name. Who wants to put their name on condoms? The Hammer condom? Would you go buy a Hammer condom? Diane, you're a female. Let's go back to when you were, let's say, 19, okay?
Okay.
Some guy's dating you going, hey, Diane, baby, it doesn't take much to get you drunk here. And, you know, knowing you, go, whoa, that was a good one. I was a little thirsty. All right. Like I was there, right? So anyway, all of a sudden the room gets a little hot. Your clothes fly off accidentally because you girls always say accidentally.
Yeah, accidents always happen.
That's always happens. And the guy goes, hey, I'm going to turn on some music here quick. Ooh. And then all of a sudden you do the shimmy, shimmy, shake, shake, and you get yourself to the bed going, okay, we're a little nervous. We're 19. We got to hurry up. My parents are coming home. Dang. Then he whips out the Hammer condom. When you see the word Hammer condom, what goes through your mind, Diane?
Ouch.
Hey, well, maybe it's not a good idea. Maybe it's not a bad idea. All right. It's not a good thing. Does it break the romance? Like, hey, I got the Hammer. I mean, you got your Trojans. You got your Ramses. I got the Hammer condom.
Could be a new product.
Huh?
I said you could probably sell those at the 99-cent store along with the pregnancy test they have there.
Exactly, and along with my sex tape that they marked down from 99 cents to 97 cents on sale now. Please.
Hurry, run and get it before they're out.
Right. It's only one box. It's been there for a whole year on a shelf. How embarrassing.
A little dusty.
Yeah, really, so was I. No judgment.
Anyway.
I see our guest came in, and before I open his mic, I do want to say, like I said, I was going to play some fun, have some fun with Vinny, and he's also a friend. And I was going to, you know, play, I had a new game called the Mafia Monopoly. It's like, you know, you pass go, but you don't go to jail. And if you buy Boardwalk, you can bury your people underneath the lake or something like that, you know? And then I said, all these things, right before the show, I said, no. I'm going to do something that I haven't done with somebody in a long time. I'm going to really get into Vinny. Easy, Diane. No, Jeff. But I'm going to really, you know, Diane just, yeah, there it is. Well, damn, well, she had to mute herself. She couldn't control herself. I'm going to find out what makes Vinny tick.
Tick.
Then I say, what's wrong with you two? What is going on?
You said it. I just laughed.
I didn't expect Kelly to be an enabler. What do you mean you laughed? Tick. How dare you, Diane?
I bet you if you turned Vinny's mic on, he'd be laughing too.
No, he wouldn't. He's going to shoot somebody. Diane has history with Vinny Dovingo. Jeff Bertrand has history with Vinny Dovingo. Before we put on Vinny's mic, we know he's anxious, and Vinny will kick my ass if I don't turn him on soon. I can feel him right now. He'll sick Dee Dee on my ass. But before we turn Vinny's mic on, I really want you to tell me about Vinny. If I have to ask you, Diane, tell me about Vinny. He's coming on a show. What would you say?
Just the most special, loving person I've met. Well, via radio. I just adore him.
Well, not only via radio, you also talk to him off air very personally.
I have, yes.
Tell me.
And I love Vinny.
Yeah. Why do you love Vinny? And how come you don't love me?
Well, I love you too.
But not in a Vinny way. Yeah, really. Thank you, Jeff. So tell me why you love Vinny.
I just always enjoy talking to him. I mean, I like his spirit. I just think he's a great person. I mean, I would love to physically meet him someday.
Yeah, I bet you would.
She wants to see what makes him tick.
Oh, Jesus. One little slip up.
Poor Vinny. Would you just turn Vinny's mic on now?
No. You know what? I can feel you turning red, and I love this, Diane. I don't get this often.
Oh, I'm as red as a little microphone.
Mr. Jeffy Bertrand, if you had to describe our guest today, Mr. Vinny Dovingo, tell me truthfully, what do you feel about Vinny?
Great dude, straight shooter, lets you know how he feels, no bullshit.
That's Vinny. Now, let's pretend Vinny's getting an honor, some kind of award for being a stand-up guy. If the Wise Guys had an Academy Award, Vinny will take it. Ladies and gentlemen, straight from Jersey, we're honoring the toughest, the baddest, the smartest, the most wonderful Wise Guy. Welcome to the Wise Guy Award, Mr. Vinny Dovingo. And Kelly, tell me one word what you would say for this man to win this award.
Caring.
That's not helping in the Wise Guy Award. That would get him killed. He cares.
Well, he is a caring person.
Well, he is. I know Vinny for a little while, and I'll tell you what I think of him. Everything everybody said above. I'm not going to blow smoke up Vinny's ass. He doesn't need it. But he first came to our show, and he wanted to kick my ass hard. We became friends. Vinny would come on our show, and it was great. Our numbers will go up. Vinny and I, personality on there, we had fun. Diane had fun. Jeff had fun. I said, Vinny, what the hell are you doing calling my show? I mean, this guy is talented. He had his own show, Z100, actor, whatever. You should have your own show. Come on. And Vinny did it, and Vinny has a show that comes on Blog Talk Radio at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and it's a hit. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to open up the mic, but before I do, I want to play his theme song, and we're going to talk to my cousin Vinny Dovingo.
I get the urge to visit my hometown. I'm sure that all my cousins will try to track me down. My heart says go, my head says no, it's best to stay away. But if I appear, I'm sure to hear all those jerk-offs say,
hey, cousin Vinny, your cousin Vinny, is there anything that you could do for me? Hey, cousin Vinny, your cousin Vinny, it ain't that long, you must remember me. Hey, cousin Vinny, your cousin Vinny, is there anything that you could do for me? Hey, cousin Vinny, your cousin Vinny, hey, bring your cousins with your family.
Fredo was my cousin, he couldn't make his bail. I was talking to his father, he said let him rot in jail. But I pitied his poor mother, she said I was a prince. I paid his bail, he's out of jail, I ain't seen the fuck since.
Hey cousin Vinny, yo cousin Vinny, is there anything that you could do for me? Hey cousin Vinny,
oh,
yo cousin Vinny, it ain't that long, you must remember me. Hey, cousin Vinny, yo, cousin Vinny, is there anything that you could do for me? Hey, cousin Vinny, yo, cousin Vinny, hey, with your cousin, bring your family.
My cousin Rose got married, she said they'd all be there. And they would love to see me as if I fucking cared. They ate, they drank, they danced all night. My cousins had their fill. And when it all was over, you could guess who paid the bill.
Hey, cousin Vinny, yo, cousin Vinny, is there anything that you could do for me? Hey, cousin Vinny,
yo,
cousin Vinny, it ain't that long, you must remember me. Hey, cousin Vinny, yo, cousin Vinny, is there anything that you could do for me? Hey, cousin Vinny,
oh, please,
yo, cousin Vinny,
Vinny, oh, Vinny, Vinny, Vinny,
hey, bring your cousins, bring your family. Hey, bring your cousins, bring your family.
Gentlemen, my friend, my colleague, Vinny the Bingo. Welcome to the show, pal. How
hey.
Are you? They love you, Vinny.
Sit down. Take it easy, people.
They love you, Vinny. I got hope.
Right.
I got Newark. I got Hoboken. I got every person in Jersey waiting to see you.
Well, that's great.
Well, you know, I go ahead, Betty.
The last time I got an applause like that was actually when I was with Z100, and we were introduced to a sold-out crowd at Madison Square Garden, which was 60,000 people, and it was great, and I haven't heard that since then, but... thank you.
Well, you deserve it. Vinny, you know, you are more prepared than I am when you do your show. I'm never prepared. I come on, I talk like Obama. Let's be clear. I fly at the wing of my pants and hopefully cross my fingers with the guest that I have. It goes well. So
well,
I did the same thing with you. Go ahead.
You described me. I mean, I do the same thing. I, excuse me. I write notes. I never, never, ever do anything in order. I just, wait a minute. The cigarettes are getting me. But I do just like you. I have an idea of what I want to do. I have my notes. I have my clippings. I have everything that I printed out. And it don't work like that. I mean, if you're going to do live radio and you're going to be good, you got to improvise. I mean, you got to work with what you got. I mean, everything and anything usually changes by the second. And, you know, you got to be quick. And it's really hard because people don't understand when you like you have five people here trying to perform, act, or whatever we're doing, and it's so hard because you don't have eye contact, you can't see any gestures. You know, we're basically in the dark, and we hope that, like last night, I had like eight people on my show at once, and it's hard. It's hard. And I don't know. I guess people, that's why we are successful, because what we do, we have to do everything. I mean, when you're shooting a movie, doing a TV thing, or doing, you know, regular radio that we're familiar with, you have everybody getting the music. You have somebody answering the phones. You have somebody prepping the guests. We have to do it all. I mean, I only do an hour show, but I'm working on it for maybe 6-7 hours, and mm-hmm. then I, you know, it's really, really hard, and I laugh just like you, where people think it's easy. I don't want to discourage anybody, but it is a lot of work. If you're not prepared to do it 15 hours a day, I mean, everything evolves around my show, my dinner, my family, my social life. Everything revolves around the show, and like you, and it's hard. And I'm sure Kelly, Diane, Jeff, you know, everybody that's a part of you. I mean, when I first even discovered Blog Talk Radio, for some reason I was on the computer in between being in Facebook jail and all that, looking for something that I could get on without, you know, Facebook telling me, no, you're in jail. So I came across radio, you know, Blog Talk Radio, and it shows you a bunch of shows and, you know, what comedy it is that, and I clicked on your show, and it said on the air live. Boom, I clicked it on, and I heard you, and I believe it was you were talking with Diane, and you mentioned that your dog was having a problem, and you had to tape his balls because, I don't know, something was, you know, he kept licking his balls or something, and you were going to tape him so he couldn't get out his balls. And I said, this guy's, I mean, I was rolling on, I don't laugh at anything, man. And you really, you had me going. I said, this guy's crazy, man. And you mentioned your phone number, and I called up, and I said, yo, man. What's up, man? You tape, I'll tape your balls. Are you nuts? Tape your dog balls. We went on from there, and I would say I called your show or listened to it for 3 or 4 months.
Thank you.
Religiously every day, because I was having, now this was, let's see, about 6 months before the hurricane, which would make it probably around 2 years now, because the hurricane is a year, and it was, I'd say close to 2 years, and we've been friends ever since. You were generous enough to give me a a pissier show as far as your time slot, and you genuinely you know, took an interest in me and said, "Hey, man, you know, you want an hour? You want a half hour? What do you want?" And I said, "Well, you know, I was very scared. You know, like I said, well, I was with Z100, which is the number one radio station on the East Coast, and in New York market, and over here, that's pretty hard to do. But we had a team of people there that were, I mean, they had millions of dollars behind them. Everything was done for us. All we had to do is go in and be silly. And but you took me under your wing, I should say, and after, I don't think it was a week, you said, "Yo, man, you got to do your own show." "Do what? Do my own show? Are you crazy?" "Yeah, don't worry about it. You know, you don't have to do nothing. Just go on and be you." "But, Brian, don't you got to pay for that?" "Don't worry about it. I got it." "All right. But, Brian, how do I work for you?" "Don't worry about it. I have to work for you." I said, "Whoa, something's wrong. Because, you know, where I come from, you know, that don't happen. There's always a catch. And you know what? I haven't seen a catch except to be... the only requirements are to be a good friend of yours and, you know, just be real." And
that's the catch.
And we've been going on ever since. I mean, whatever I have ever asked of you, you've always tried. I mean, in the last couple of years, I've lost friends that were very, very dear to me. And I would say to myself, "Well, geez, I'm 64 years old. I made these friendships, and I've had them for 10, 20 years. I'd be 85 years old. I can never have a friend like that again." But to my surprise, you came into my life as a friend, Diane, Jeff, and, you know, that emptiness has seemed to be filled again. I mean, life is funny, and it has a way of equaling. You know, when you lose things, you gain things. You know, I have a habit, I look at the obituary, I see who died, and you know what? For as many people who die, there's probably double born. You know, life is amazing. Life is really amazing. I've had fun. Sure, I've been in trouble. I mean, I was, I'll tell you one, go to the right, and then I'll shoot to the left. But, you know, I was sure I was incarcerated when I was like 16, 17 years old. I mean, when you're 16, 17 years old, playing high school football, driving a brand new Cadillac, and they give you like a year, man, that's like a life sentence. Holy shit, a year? What am I gonna, you know? And, you know, I've been in that position. But I've also did so many good things. I mean, my life is either very good or very bad. And, you know, and I learned to go with it. You got to go with it. As soon as you try to fight it or resist it, you're in trouble. So you got to go with it. You have fun. You know, you only live once. And if you live it the right way, that's all you got to live it, is once.
That's true. And, you know, Vinny, I want to thank you so much for those kind words. But I could not have done it without your friends here, too. Diane says, "Vinny's going to do her own show." I go, "Yes." She goes, "I want to be a part of it. I want to be a part of it." Jeff, "I'm there. I love this guy." And I'm going to open up the mics to Diane and to Jeff. And please, talk to Vinny. When we first started it, you guys were behind Vinny 100%. I mean, we love Vinny. And you don't get the chance to say it. I know you were working Vinny's board at one time, and maybe lost that touch. I don't know. But here's your chance to talk to Vinny, Diane, and Jeff.
Well, Diane, let me just start this off. You know, I didn't know a fucking thing about the story, the computer or anything. And I said, wow, what do I do? Well, just, you know, I'll help you. And the woman was always there for me, always there, in spite of she has a family, she has a household, another life. But whenever I was in need for something, even a comforting word about, you know, my dog or what to cook, she was always there. And, you know, I appreciate those things. I mean, it sounds like a little, you know, a little friggin', yeah, all right, you asked her what she's cooking for. But, you know, people nowadays, they don't care about nothing. They, you know, they talk all that shit. Oh, yeah, you're my friend. You're my best friend. They don't care about you. And when you find somebody that does, man, you got to cherish that. What people forget is that the way I like to be hear nice things, and people like to hear that too. So, you know, it ain't about me. You know, how you feeling? Oh, no, how you feeling today? I mean, you feel good today? I mean, you got to be sincere, not just go through the motions. You got to be sincere. And I found it with a few people, that not a few, but I found it with most people. Because now, you know, years ago, it was like you had to go out. You say, you know what, I don't like that guy. And there was so many different factors why. He's too loud. I don't like the way he's dressed. Now we're all kind of like equal in this new media, you know, the internet and the computer. Nobody really, you don't see a person. I mean, the person could have bad hygiene. I mean, you'll never know. The guy's 10,000 miles away or in a different country. So, like, you know, it's really, it's hard. It's hard. When I was in prison once, where I lived, I was in a cottage 10. And cottage 10 had the laundry guys, and the laundry guys used to prepare for when we got new shipments in of people. And I used to say to the laundry guy, oh, let me see who's coming in Tuesday. So I'd look through the list and see if there was anybody from Newark, my hometown. And, of course, I want to look out for them. But out of maybe 30 guys that were being shipped in that day, I used to pick out who I liked by just their name, where they were from, and their charge. And this kind of reminds me of it, being on Facebook. You get a request for a friendship or on the computer, and you really have nothing to go by except for what you see there. Matter of fact, my friend's laundry list was probably more in-depth than on Facebook, because on Facebook, you get to write your profile. I mean, it's not written by anybody. So, you know, so I used to pick people out. And I had a friend, Nicky Ferracci, who was locked up for murder. And he used to say, Vinny, you know, you in the last couple of months, you picked like 10 people. And, you know, these people, some of them are jerk-offs. I said, well, what do you want me to do? I don't know them. You know, I'm just going by the where they're from, who they are, how old they are. And, you know, it was kind of like a little game with me. But he said, this ain't no game, man. I was doing 20 years. And, you know, you bring one of these idiots into our fold, our crew, and it, you know, it could send me back to the, you know, the big house. And, it's pretty interesting how we, on this new, I got to refer to Facebook because I really don't go on anything else. I mean, I've been getting those requests from, like, 22-year-old girls. Hello, I've seen your profile. You interest me. What interests you? You don't know me. Yeah, I'm 64 years old. You're 23. I interest you.
I'm going to stop you there because I think I can help with that. When you're on a show, when you and I are on a show, I do get people in my inbox, and I'm going to tell you the truth. This is what they say. I like that Vinny. True. These are true statements. I like that Vinny. He reminds me of my uncle. I like that Vinny. He reminds me of my father. I like that Vinny because he reminds me of when it was the good times in Newark or in Jersey. I like his music. It takes me back to when we used to, a family used to eat together. I mean, you get, when they hear you, Vinny, that part of Newark, that part of New Jersey with Sinatra and Bennett and the Jersey Boys and so on and so forth, it died. It died years ago.
We had that discussion. I mean, you used to say to me, actually, and Lee, who is my co-host and my lady, used to say, well, you do your Newark thing. What do what? What Newark thing? That's me. I don't do nothing. I'm me. I'm Vinny. I just happen to be from Newark. Well, you know, you got the whole world that you could tap into. You told me, well, they're listening to you all over the world. And I said to you, look, I could be very successful just catering to my Jersey people and and wherever else. I mean, I don't do a show just on Jersey, but I am Jersey. You do what you do best, and nobody could do it best like me. I don't think there's too many. So I want to capitalize on being me. It's like a broad, if she's got a nice bottom, what's she going to do? She's going to wear nice pants that show her bottom. She's not going to show her legs. She might have ugly legs. So me, I'm not going to pretend I know California. I know New York City. Jersey, I know. I know everything about Jersey. I know where to eat, where to sleep, where to hide, where the best jails are in Jersey. I know all of that. So when I say something, believe me, you could count on it.
I believe you. You know what I always wanted to do, Vinny? Like I said in the beginning of the show, I like to have fun. And I said, okay, let's do a lot of fun. And then in the last 10 minutes, I said, you know what I really wanted to do? I always fantasize about that. And today I get to do it with you. So you're going to make one of my fantasies come true. I wanted to always get an interview in the Actor's Studio. Have you ever seen the Actor's Studio? It's on one of these channels, AMC or whatever, where the actor comes.
Oh, yeah, with that little kid, the guy with the beard and the bald head. Yeah.
Yeah. I always wanted to do that. So today, Vinny, you and I are going into the Actor's Studio, and I'm going to be the guy to ask you the questions, and I'm going to take questions from our panel, which is Kelly, Diane, and Jeff, and hopefully everybody else. Listen, you guys, call in. I don't give this number off very often, and I should. 646-595-3032. If you're from Jersey, music, acting, this is the man. You want to know about questions about wise guys you read in the paper or the movies or anything, this is the time. Come in. I invite you to our Actor's Studio so you can participate in asking our star, our guest, Mr. Vinny Domingo, the questions. Are you ready, my friend?
Yes, I am. Sure. I this is great, man. This is like living my fantasy.
Oh, there you go. I'm going to ask you serious questions. And again, this is the Actor's Studio. Vinny Domingo, tell me about what is the happiest time that you had in your childhood. When I say childhood, that's between age maybe 5 to 10, what was the happiest moment?
Well, I had a very blessed childhood. Let's see, we lived in Newark. My parents lived with my mother's mother. We lived on 7th Avenue in Newark, New Jersey, which had a concentration of Italians larger than Naples. And you would say, how's that? Well, because of the amount of people that were there. I'm sure there's more Italians in Naples, but being that we're in the United States, there must have been maybe 20,000, you know, in this small area. I mean, you know. But I was very fortunate. I had a pony before I could walk. Let's see. At about 12 years old, while other people were going to Olympic Park, which was a place that had like a Ferris wheel and a merry-go-round, we went to Europe. I was pretty blessed. And my father was a Shylock and a hard-working guy. He was a truck driver. We took numbers. You know, illegal numbers like the lottery. You know, I didn't want for anything. My father was great, man. You know, always working. He worked 7 days a week. When he wasn't working, he was hustling. And I thought the whole world did that. But little did I know, there was a world outside of Newark, New Jersey.
Yeah.
But my childhood, I grew up in a Catholic school. I went to St. Lucie School on 7th Avenue at kindergarten. But then I think in my kindergarten, what are you, 5 years old? Four, I don't even know how old you are. But they were building the projects. You know, them 16-story tenement, you know, them. You know, everybody had projects. And they were building them, and my father moved to North Newark, and we had a beautiful, like, 13-room house, like, 5 bathrooms, like, 6 fire. But, you know, we had, you know, I was very lucky.
Okay. Now, are you here, Vinny?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I want to ask you, we're at 5 to 10. You're very lucky. What was the most hurtful thing that you ever heard out of your father's mouth? Now, this doesn't have to be let's go with the childhood. Let's still stay with childhood. Up until maybe 15. Let's expand it to 15. What was the most hurtful thing you ever heard your father say?
Well, he one time he was mad about something. It was probably over me because, I got in trouble from like 15. That was when I got in trouble at 15. But one time he threw a dish of macaronis against the wall, and I don't know to this day, I don't know why, but he threw a dish of macaronis against the wall, and man, the whole house shook. My father wasn't a violent guy, but when he got mad, but he never said anything. He was always polite. He was a funny ass guy. Man, he was funny, but he never threatened us. Or I mean, you could just see in his face. But to see my father explode and throw a dish of macaronis against the wall, you know, I said, "Wow, holy shit, man! I can't get this guy mad." But that was about it.
But let me ask you this. You do have siblings. You do have brothers and sisters. Are you the oldest in your family?
I am the oldest. I have a brother who's approximately 18 years younger than me, and I got a sister who's 10 years younger than me. But, you know, that's really deep because, like I said, you know, Ronald said, let's say he's 20 years younger than me. My sister's 10 years younger than me. So if you do the math, when I was 15, 16 years old, my sister was a baby. Now, I've been in trouble from 15 years old to like 30, 40 years old. I was in trouble in prison, in the county jails. So these kids, my sister and my brother, really got short-ended. They got the short end of the stick because, you know, their Sundays consisted of at the visiting hall, visiting me. And this went on for like 30 years. So they were well into the adulthood when I wised up. But, you know, they were really shortchanged because everything was, you know, everything shined on me. Because I was the oldest, I was in trouble, and they got short stick.
Now, I don't know much about, I know the black community and our family. We have a bond. It may not seem like it with the news and everything, but we're tight. The church held us together. The Italian family, what we see on TV, what we hear, the movies, the Italians are very strongly, are they very strong? They're family oriented, I would say. Am I correct?
Yeah. I mean, 2013, I mean, people probably say, are you nuts? But I tell you what, 2013 versus 1964 is like night and day. I think the family structure is gone. It's gone.
Let me ask you something. You being the oldest, it sounds like your father was heavy, you know, working hard. He provided. He did what he needed to do to provide for his family. But it sounds like he wasn't home as much as he should or you would like. Would that be correct?
Oh, yeah. No, when he was home, he was either sleeping, taking a nap, or, you know, watching. You know, my father was cool. He did what he had to do. He was good at it, and I admired him because he used to tell me a lot. You say you jerk off. Look at you. You don't do a fucking thing with your life. When I was 18 years old, I had two kids I was supporting and a wife. Look at you. You ain't got nothing. You got a dog. You know what I mean? So, you know, my father, maybe he didn't talk to you like, Mr. Cleaver, but, you know, he was really a good guy. My father was a good guy. He helped a lot of people. And when I say helped, it wasn't like giving somebody a jump start or something. He actually helped mold a lot of people's lives that people wouldn't know about it today. I mean, my father was in the army in World War II. He was in Africa. And he used to help all the missionaries out there, the nuns, the Catholic Church. And he used to get letters. I remember as a kid, he was still getting letters from the nuns in Africa, you know, seeing how he was doing and still thanking him for things that he did in the 1940s. I mean, my father was a good man. My father, I said, he drove a truck. And he worked for Charms Candy in Bloomfield. And one of his fellow workers was a black man. He was a young man at the time. His name was Bobby Lockett. And Bobby used to come over to the house and hang out with my father, you know, on his day off. And my father looked at him one day and said, yo, he said, Bobby, we're going to be a jerk off all your life. He said, why don't you forget about it? I've been driving a truck 30 years. He said, why don't you take the test and become a cop? So he looked at my father, said, what do you mean? He said, don't worry about it. You keep your nose clean, and I'll take care of you. I'll do the right thing. And through the connections my father had, bingo, before you know it, Bobby was a cop. And he became a lieutenant. And him and my father were best friends before my father did that for him, and until the day my father died. And the funny part is, Bobby's now retired, and his son is a captain with the North Police Department. Now, if my father didn't help his father and turn him on to that and became a cop, his son, who knows where his life would have went.
That's true. That's true. I'm going to ask you two more questions. We're going to take a short break. You have someone who's very dear to you, K-Man, and we're going to have her speak. But I want to ask you something. Number one, when you were a kid, what was your favorite TV show that was on TV at the time?
Well, when I was a kid, I liked Roy Rogers, but nobody knows about Roy Rogers.
Everybody knows about Roy Rogers.
And when Roy Rogers was on, you know, with Trigger, his horse, and I forget the Rin Tin Tin. Was it Rin Tin Tin? He had a dog. And I used to jump around the couch with that. And I remember falling off the couch once, and I knocked the wind out of me. And, man, that shit hurt. I didn't play the Roy Rogers anymore. You know, I watched it from the couch sitting down. But, as a kid, you know, I used to get into a lot of stupid shit. I remember one night my mother was doing something, and I was playing in the kitchen, and I used to always get into, like, you know, try to take things apart, and I was a very curious kid, you know, and I couldn't understand what was in the socket that when you plug something in, it worked. So I had this bright idea, let me stick the coat hanger in there. And I did that, man, my shit lit up, man. I was shaking, my hair like was, I'm serious. I never did that anymore. But I used to try anything as a kid. Hey, Vinny will do it, don't worry about it. Vinny, climb up on that roof and jump. You know, I used to do a lot of crazy shit.
Well, you know what? I'm getting to know you, my friend, and we all did too. I'm going to ask you one more question, then we're going to go to break. I'm going to give you a category. I'm going to ask you about your mother. But I'm just going to give you a title. Which one do you put her in? The number one title, a saint. The number two title, a hard-working good woman. Number three title, a great mother. What title would you give your mother?
Well, I couldn't put her in any title. My mother was all of the above. My mother was my best friend first. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then neck to neck with that, she was my mother, which of course, unlimited love, unconditional, everything. But my mother was my buddy. She was my buddy. We hung out. If I went out to do something, and it was illegal, which normally it was back in the day, I would tell her, hey, look, I'm going here. I'm be with this person. Here, hold this. I don't need it where I'm going. And, you know, she was cool. Of course, she didn't condone it, but she wasn't going to stop me if she told me no. She would just call in, check with me. My mother was just a unique person. You know, I just lost her a few years ago, and when she was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, it was a hell of an ordeal from November till December when she passed away. I don't think I slept for like 2 months, and One day she called me over to the bed and hospice was there. She was on her way out and she took my hand and she said, I'm sorry, Vinny. I'm really sorry. I said, sorry? What are you sorry for? She said, for making you stay up, for, you know, putting you through this. I said, Ma, you're dying and you're sorry. I said, you know, what can I say?
Yeah.
That's what kind of person she was.
Yeah,
she was dying, and she was sorry because I had to walk to here or go visit her or change her because she dirtied herself. You know, she was sorry. She was crying that all of this happened.
Well, when we get back, I'm going to ask you the responsibility of being a big brother. I know the Italian family. I have an idea about the Italian family. But we're going to come back, and I'm going to ask you about the responsibilities you have and the guilt that you have with your brothers and sisters, if there's any, about all the trouble you got into. You touched on it earlier, saying that they got the short end of the stick because you got in so much trouble, and their Sundays were exceeding you. But knowing you as a friend that I do, there must have been a lot of guilt, and sometimes an older brother takes on the father duties to make sure if they see their little brother doing something to smack him upside the head, and you become more of a father to them and a caretaker. So I'm going to ask you those questions when we get back. Lee's here, who is your co-host of your show, My Cousin Vinny, who is a very important person in your life. I'm going to ask her to ask you some questions. And we're going to get into how you got in trouble, the first time you were locked up, what you felt, and how you got out of trouble. And then we're going to get into, a lot of people don't know, Vinny was on Z100. Z100 is a powerful radio station. They did something. I'm not quite clear. Vinny will clear it up. But something hurt him very much. Vinny was doing his character, and there was an Italian association who was really offended by Vinny's character. They basically said, he's a bad influence on Italians. He doesn't represent Italians correctly. We don't want him to be a symbol of what Italians are. Vinny was upset going, what the fuck you're talking about? I am Italian. We're going to talk about that, and that hurt him for a long time. We're going to talk about how Vinny finally got his we call it,
vindication.
What would we say it? I want to say revenge, but
vindicate.
Yeah. We're going to talk about how that happened. And ladies and gentlemen, stay with us. You're listening to Brian the Hammer Jackson on the MVP On Demand Network. We're in the Actor Studio with my special guest, Mr. Vinny Davingo, and we'll be right back. Please join us, 646-595-3032. We'll be right back.
Okay. Yeah.
Every time I get the urge to visit my hometown, I'm sure that all my cousins will try to track me down. My heart says go, my head says no, it's best to stay away. But if I appear, I'm sure to hear all those jerk-offs say,
hey, Cousin Vinny, your Cousin Vinny, is there anything that you could do for me? Hey, Cousin Vinny, your Cousin Vinny, your cousins with your family.
Fredo was my cousin, he couldn't make his bail. I was talking to his father, he said let him rot in jail. But I pitied his poor mother, she said I was a prince.
My Cousin Vinny, thank you, Joe. Welcome back, I'm back. Again, Brian Hammer Jackson on MVP On Demand Network via BTR. We're here with the Actors Studio with actor entertainer, radio host, Newark own son, Vinny Devingo. Vinny, I'm going to ask you this question, and then we're going to open it up to Lee, because it'll be a transition question. You and I have a lot in common. This is not about me. You're talking about your mother. Sometimes when a boy looks at his mother a certain way that you do, and most of us do, it is very hard to find a woman that can hold up to that admiration or hero worship. Would you agree?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, we go through, you know what we go through. We're guys, you know what I mean? Guys do. But when we finally, but we're always looking for that woman, and we will not admit it, maybe like her mother. We want her caring, loving, that unconditional love.
Right, and not ask any questions.
Hey, your mother probably asked you a lot of questions. Let's be honest. Did she ask you questions?
Well, she knew what to ask, and it wasn't asking a question. My mother basically told me she would say, she would predict what's going to happen. She didn't ask. She told.
Yeah. But you obeyed.
Yeah, well, to the best of my ability.
And that brings us to the lovely Lee. I want to introduce Miss Lee Feldman. Lee, I just got getting to know Lee. She's a very intelligent lady, heart of gold. Vinny's other half. I don't know when these two kids are going to get married, but that's, I'm not going to stir the pot there. She's also a co-host of Vinny's show, My Cousin Vinny, and you can hear it at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Ladies and gentlemen, Lee Feldman. Welcome to the show, Lee.
Hi, Ryan. Hi, Vin.
Hello.
No, he's not being nice.
Well,
I could tell
that
the
went
tone.
Well. Now, next up, we're going to go to a commercial, and we'll be right now.
No, like, I'm saying to myself, I wonder what she's going to say. But let me just say this first. Lee was around with my mother. My mother enjoyed her company. My mother enjoyed her. And that, you know, that sealed it for me. I mean, you know, like when you see, I mean, I didn't take her over the house to get anybody's approval. I mean, she had my approval, and I had her approval. That was enough for us. But my mother enjoyed Lee's company. She had a good time. Lee was always very generous to my mother in every way possible. And maybe that's why we're, you know, we are the way we are.
Why don't you tell them the story, how you brought your mother over to the house?
Well, I'm going to ask you that, Lee, because this is like the actor's studio, and you're like the one of the actor students.
Okay.
It's our fantasy, and we're just inviting you. Okay, here we go. Boy,
all righty, go ahead.
So bad. I'm not a good comedian, Vinny. Take me up. Get the hook. Just get me out of here. But, Lee,
mm-hmm.
If you had to say one word, just one word, that would okay. sum up Vinny's personality. One word. What would it be? Thank you very
wild.
Much, Lee. And now we'll
wild.
Go for a commercial.
Wild.
Wild?
Yeah.
Wow. Now, you said one word. Did that just open up a whole thing?
Yeah, because it can go anyway.
Yes. Well, let's
all
hope
right.
it goes
Vinny.
The way that I figured the show was going to go. Or else I'm going to end up being with, I'm going to be Judge Judy in a minute. What attracted you to Vinny?
We sort of just, he drove me nuts actually because he was bugging me.
My children.
And he'd leave me messages. I never called him back, right?
Oh,
I don't know how many times he called.
This is not how I planned it.
There was no way I wanted to get involved with an actor. No way. No way. An Italian?
Really?
I never dated an Italian before. I had no idea what I was doing.
And what did you find out? What is the hardest thing about dating an Italian?
It's hard in every way because we're so different. We are so different, yet we're very much alike. I mean, in a lot of ways, but our customs are different. Our personalities are different. Our way we feel about family is different. The way I feel about where I came from is different. That's one reason why we enjoy each other sometimes, because we're so different. It's kind of fun.
Well, they say opposites attract each other.
Right, and everyone always wanted us to be on stage together because of our joking.
That's true. But let me ask you again, Lee. Mm-hmm. When you first brought Vinny home to meet your mother, explain to us what happened.
Well, I was in New York. Vinny was living with me, and my parents came for my 50th birthday, right? And my parents, different from him, are conservative, very well-to-do, Boston Jewish. My mother comes to New York. You know, she has to wear a black pantsuit and be totally. My father always comes in a sport jacket. And I told Vinny, you can't wear your Italian tee. You have to wear a shirt. You've got to button it up. You can't do that. I gave him, you have to dress this way, you know. And you can't say any of your words. You can't say any swear at all. So I.
Otherwise, don't be Vinny.
He was a nervous wreck. Right, Vin?
In other words, you're telling me, like, stay home. No, no. Her father was cool. Her father was good people. Her mother's cool. I mean, Lee sees all of this in her head. Really, her mother and father are cool. It's just like me. I say, why are these people flocking around my father? He's an old fart. And you don't see that. You know, you don't see your parents as other people see them. Her mother's cool. I remember she was in a hospital getting surgery, and I was coming from a set, and I think I worked on three movies back to back. I just flew in. I went to Spain for 3 days. I just came in, and she was being operated on, and it was like, all right, just tell me the hospital. Don't worry about it. You know, I don't need the room. I'll just find you. I'll find out where you're at. And I brought her, I never forget, I brought her roses, and she was coming up from the recovery room, and I was down at the recovery room where they put me with Lee, who just came out of the operation, and her mother was with her, and it was like, oh man, you didn't shave, you don't have a jacket on. What would my mother say? I said, your mother didn't say a fucking thing. She was happy I was here. You know what I mean? And, you know, her mother's cool, man. Her mother's really cool. She puts all of these things up. Her mother and father are cool people.
Let me ask
Thank
you a question, Ben. You and I are both guys. We're guys. You and I both went on our show. We don't hold back. This is who we are. Now, when you saw Lee for the first time, what title in your head that wanted you to get close to her? Number one, did you just want to bang her? Number two, did you want to marry her? Number three, did you just want to hang out with her to see what she was about? What would you say? When you first, be honest, when you first saw Lee?
Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I said. She's an interesting.
Oh, okay.
she interests me. She interests me. She, the fact that she was in New York. New York's a tough place, man. New York is a serious place. I mean, on one corner you have like $1 million homes or car, whatever the frig you call them, and like 10 steps away you got crackheads, killers, and she was doing her thing, man. She was Lee Feldman in New York City, and she had it down pat. And that alone, to me, is a big thing to do it nowadays, you know, for a woman to be independent and be able to do all these things. And, she interests me. Yeah, she interests me. She was a very good-looking, well, she still is. She was a good-looking woman, and I couldn't put the, I'm always trying to figure out things. And when I looked at her, I said, I got to figure this out. Something, you know what I mean? And she got my interest.
Mm-hmm. And let me ask you the same question, Lee. When you first saw Vinny, number one, did you just want to bang him? Number two, did you want to get to know him? Number three, this is a possible husband. What title would you put on Vinny?
Interesting. Also, interesting because what am I going to say? I was also seeing someone else. I was seeing someone in New York, I started the acting business, but I really didn't want to get involved with any of the men there. I think I enjoyed Vinny, and he held my interest. Vinny, it was on the set, Little Italy. What was that movie? With
that old feeling.
That old feeling. And we had such a good time, and I'm watching him and kidding him because he's trying to pick up these two other girls.
Oh, yeah.
I was hysterical. I was hysterical. So we ended up together that day, after that. It was hysterical.
Yeah, the girl was trying to make me. Remember the girl? I remember that girl.
You were trying to get her on Z100. You were trying to convince her, I'll get you on Z100, blah, blah, blah. And I'm hysterical laughing. I'm laughing at the whole thing.
No, I don't play that shit. You know that. I don't play that power thing. I mean, it happened so many times with women, in New York, who wants a SAG card, who wants to be on this, who wants to work as a stand-in. I mean, I don't play that. And I make that very clear to someone when I meet them. You know, it ain't all about what can I do for you. I'm no dummy. Like, take a walk. Take that shit somewhere else. I hate that shit.
Let me ask you a question. Vinny, be honest. Well, you are. I don't have to say that to you. Sometimes honesty is rough and honesty is cruel, but you have to respect honesty. So, Vinny, when was the first time, and what did she do to disappoint you? When was the first time Lee disappointed you?
Well, I would think when she disappoints me, there won't be a second time, and it'll probably be over. But she has never disappointed me in any way that I could remember.
Wow.
I mean, I can't say, I expected meatloaf one night and she made a chicken, all of that dumb shit. But no, she has never disappointed me. I recall.
That is beautiful. That is the most beautiful thing. Lee, he says something beautiful, but you don't have to listen to that. When was the first time Vinny's a guy. Now, I'm gonna say this because all guys, Vinny, you know this, all guys, and I can go with Jeff, all guys disappoint our ladies within the first 20 minutes. As soon as we open our mouth, we disappoint them because they have an image where they want us to be. They try to mold us to where they want us to go. We know this, right, Vinny? We know this, guys.
Of course. So, I must have disappointed her a million times. I don't remember her birthday. To me,
never. Kills me. Never.
Right. And
never.
That's what I'm going to ask. So, knowing guys, and we're going to say this because we're going to put this question on an even level, guys automatically disappoint all the ladies. There's no lady in the world that says, my guy never disappointed. She's a liar or a lesbian. So, Lee, when was the first time Vinny disappointed you? What happened?
I think, I'm trying to remember, his birthdays are stupid, and he never remembered, and I always got upset about it, and I don't even think he knew. I was shocked at one time on Valentine's Day. Instead of giving me roses or candy, he gave me a check. Check. Right, Vinny? And I was like, where's my?
Well, I figured that was appropriate.
He's a riot. Oh, my God.
That is funny. You know what?
Yeah.
In Vinny's defense, believe me, cash is better than anything you can ever get.
I couldn't even expect the flowers because I have to say, Vinny was always bringing me flowers, always.
And I'm going to ask one more question, and then we're going to switch to how Vinny got out of trouble, his experience, why he got into trouble, how he straightened up his act, and the responsibility he feels that he owes anyone at all or someone. But I want to ask one more question. The question is this. Lee, if there's one thing you would like to change of Vinny, what would it be?
His temper.
Vinny, if one thing that you would love to change about Lee, what would it be?
Well, there's absolutely nothing that I'd like to change on her because I love her just the way she is. And if I changed anything, I'd be ruining it.
Lee. This is the most romantic guy I've ever heard in my life. I'm not kidding
you. Yes, he can be.
Are you surprised of his answers? Seriously?
No.
Oh, okay. Because it's coming from his heart. I know it is.
No, I'm not surprised.
Wow, Vinny. Let me open up the line right here. They're going to ask one question, and then we're going to go on. We're almost at the end of the show. Diane Mears-Dillon, are you surprised of that answer of Vinny?
No, not at all.
How about you, Jeffrey Birch? Go ahead.
Vinny's a sweetheart. I mean,
well, we know.
Shows it.
Wow. Okay. Jeffrey, let me ask you the question. Did Vinny just turn pussy on us, or is he still the tough guy we love?
He's not in the room right now.
Okay. Let's ask that to Kelly. Kelly, did Vinny just turn pussy on us, or he's the tough guy we love?
No, we love Vinny.
Are you surprised of his answer?
No.
All right, let me ask you something, Kelly. You know me longer than you know Vinny, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if me and Vinny were in the jungle and a snake bit both of us in the ass.
I ain't sucking either one of your asses.
Both of us, you're just going to leave both of us to die. See, that's how cynical you are. Diane, you know my personality.
I wouldn't want that venom in me either.
Well, nobody's sucking our asses. I'm saying, who would you save for mankind to survive?
I don't want to be put in
Diane,
that position.
Diane, we only have a little bit of time left. One of us has to die. We got a snake bit us in the ass. You have to save one of us for mankind. Who would it be? Who would you leave on the island, me or Vinny?
Sorry, Bri.
That was a short goodbye. So I deserve more than bye, Bri.
Yeah, but you guys don't know Vinny. You know Brian better than you know Vinny.
And that's why they said goodbye, Bri.
That's right.
Right.
Kelly.
No, because Vinny said something that touched me, because he said that his favorite show he watched was Roy Rogers.
And that's
and
why
that
you would save
my
him?
My favorite show. When I got out of kindergarten, I only went half day. I would come home and watch that show every day.
That's
so didn't
it
you
nice
feel good
live?
When he played that song at the end of every show?
Yeah, I mean, that was my favorite show. I mean, I loved Bullet was the dog.
Okay.
Oh, right.
Buttermilk was...
Thank you, Diane, for making it feel a lot better while you leave me and my caucus on that island. Kelly, you know me longer.
He said it.
We're not five. Caucus. Kelly, who would
Carcus.
You
say?
Oh.
But that'll stay there, too, I'm sure.
I'm sure it will, too. Kelly, who would you say for mankind?
I told you.
Do you really have to think this long about it?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Kelly, we're dying here.
No, I want to plead the fifth. I'm not answering that one. I'm like, Diane, that's not fair.
Vinny, this is how much they love you. They only know you for a little bit. They know me for years, and they still have to think about saving my ass.
Aren't you?
No, you're being saved. Diane left me for be chopped up by the cannibals.
Is there supposed to be a thought involved here?
I'm sure there would be. You see, Vinny?
Yeah, well.
I want to just say, not to be silly, I just wanted to prove a point of how much people care about you, Vinny. And they do. And I know sometimes when we're tough guys and we grew up in a tough area, to us the streets were not streets. To us the streets were war. The streets were divided. You're on this side, you're on this side. The guy who walks on this side, you may not like him. You got to look over your shoulder every 5 seconds. You know what I mean? You're a soldier.
Absolutely. But that's why, basically why I moved, because, you know, it was like, you know, like the old cowboy movies, you know, it got to be like the old cowboy movies where the old sheriff was getting old and he had the young outlaws trying to bushwhack him, and eventually he gets shot in the back by some renegade, and I said, you know what, I'm not going out like that. I'm getting out of this. And I left. I came down to the shore area because, I was getting too old for that. You know, not that I was a player anymore, but just to be on the playing field, you could get hurt. I mean, like I said, it's no joke in Newark. I think there's at least 20 killings a day in Newark. I mean, seriously. And I'm not going out like that, man, you know. It's just a rough game. I mean, most people work a job 20 years and retire. I was in the streets 40 years. And it's time to retire.
Yeah. There's always somebody faster, better. Not necessarily better, but we slow down when we get older. But there's always some faster. There's always some guy who wants to make a mark, make a name. And they will go for the guy. If you're the bully in the block, he's going to come after you so he can make a name. So blah, blah, blah. That's just how life is, isn't it, Vinny, in our world?
Correct. That's exactly. You hit it right on the head. And I go to these reunions down here, and, you know, people have, legends are made from bullshit stories that get exaggerated. I mean, they tell me stories, oh, yeah, really, who did that? Oh, don't you remember you did it back in 68? Not me, I didn't do that shit. But, you know, that's how you get in trouble, because people just, oh, yeah, he did this, he did that. And then you get the young guy to say, oh, man, he did all of that. I'm going to take his ass out. And you're in trouble.
That's true. Let me ask you something, Vinny. You started to get in trouble now. And let's just be real, let's be honest. Who were your heroes on the street? Who were the heroes you name? Who, and they may be, as we call in a society, bad guys. But to us, and I say us because I have a background, they may be somebody we looked up to because that was our life. We understood where they came from, and they came from the streets of hell to where they are. So who were your heroes when you were growing up, when you started almost getting into trouble, 14, 15, 16, the names that came into your life?
Well, I didn't have, per se, heroes or people that I looked up to. I looked up to the lifestyle, which the face and the lifestyle could have been many of many people in my neighborhood, but the lifestyle, wearing the best clothes, driving the best car, always had a pretty woman with them, always looked sharp, nails polished, you know, just looking good and being good. But my father always told me, you know, you could look like $1 million and you got 2 cents in your pocket. What fucking good are you? You know what I mean? So the wise guy thing, yeah, was cool and all that, but the thing that didn't sit right with me with the wise guy thing was that at any moment you could be taken out and business goes on as usual. I mean, I remember one time, and people know the characters, Little Pussy, he was a real person. His name was Anthony Russo. I mean, this could be Googled. My uncle, Anthony DeVingo, could be Googled. Now, I was at Kelly Ann's, which was a little luncheonette that my Uncle Anthony ran. And I was with my father, and we were sitting there, and there was all kinds of people there. There was Richie the Boo Boriarty. Now, I'm talking about these guys were heavyweights, TV shows, hundreds of books been written about a few of these characters that I mentioned, and they're all sitting in there, little Pee-wee, the Phillips. I mean, I'm talking about serious mafia from like the 50s and 60s. And my father said, yeah, you see that guy over there? You see Little Pussy? His father killed Pee-wee's uncle. And then Pee-wee's uncle killed Joey's father. I said, holy shit, and they're all sitting together? I mean, that didn't sit with me. I said, man, I couldn't do that shit. But they were serious people, man. You know, they had a mission, they had a job to do, and if you had to go, you were expendable. And I couldn't do that. I mean, because we all fuck up and we all do things wrong. But to take somebody out, and, you know, I told you that story once. I was sent to collect money off of this guy, and they said, you know, do what you got to do if you got to rough him up. And we went there. We were sitting in the car waiting for him. The car pulled up. I checked the license plate. Boom, that's him. Let's go. I look, and it's my friend's father. I couldn't hurt the guy. That's when I knew, you know what, I'll just play the part, but don't get into this too deep, because if I don't do what I'm told, what do you think is going to happen to me? They're going to kill me. So, you know, I knew I couldn't really do this the right way. So I kind of like skated around, and sure, I collected money, I did this, I did that, but it was on the reputation of my name. So I really didn't have to hurt anybody. But there was some serious, you know, when I mentioned these guys' names, all of their names were characters on Sopranos, which was based on them. There's books on him. Richie the Boot used to sit with Al Capone. Al Capone came to answer to Richie the Boot. You know, it's serious shit. But you'll never see the real wise guys anymore. You got a better shot seeing a cowboy with a six-shooter on. The wise guy thing is over with. It's like the Knights, you know, shit like that. A caveman, you'll see that on TV. The next time you'll see a real wise guy is when you watch an old wise guy movie, because they're gone. They're over with. It's gone.
Let me ask you something. Sometimes we play word association, meaning I will say something, the first thing that pops in your head, mention it. So I'm going to say a couple of names. The first thing that pops in your head, just give me a word, or if you want to go into a little bit more detail about that, fine. You may not live the time they lived. You have heard the stories, or you know somebody who's associated, whatever. So I'm going to say some names, and just tell me what comes in your head, okay? Lucky Luciano.
Well, he was, he was with the original, you know, he was a killer. He's a cold-blooded killer.
The Gambino family.
They were like, they were hard hitters from New York City, one of the crime families that were in a power struggle, I would say, in the 70s.
Okay, the Teflon Don. Who is the Teflon Don? Is
John Gotti.
Hey, John Gotti.
John Gotti. Actually, I just befriended his daughter, Victoria Gotti, and John Gotti. I really can't say anything. He was a man's man. He was a man. He lived by a certain code. And he died by that code.
But John Gotti crossed that code. John Gotti did something that most people should not do. He was told, and this is just me reading, Vinny. Correct me if I'm wrong. John Gotti took over as the boss by killing somebody in the most horrific public scene on New York streets.
I'm very familiar with the case. I'm very familiar with it only because I had a part in the movie which was called Witness to the Mob, and I relived. I must have, doing that movie, I came as close to the murder and the actual murder as any person can without being at the actual murder. I mean, I stood in for Abe Vigoda, who played Castellano in the movie. So it was kind of like eerie because I like took the steps of Castellano getting out of the car, getting shot, laying on the ground, being in the gurney. You know, I walked in the steps of Castellano as far as even the shooting, you know, and we did it continuously until they got the shot that they wanted. But, Gotti had a certain... Well, yeah, you know, it's like that saying, you do what you got to do. He did what he had to do. He went to jail. He didn't open up on anybody. The poor guy died in jail. I mean, the guy was a stand-up guy. I mean, you can't please everybody. You can't please everybody. People are going to pick apart whatever you are. You shouldn't have dressed like that. He shouldn't have did that. He shouldn't have white guys. Come on, man. This ain't. You know what I mean? You do what you gotta do. You do what you feel. That minute they felt Castellano had to go, somebody whacked him. If they didn't whack him, somebody. If Gotti didn't whack him, somebody would have whacked him, or somebody would have whacked. That's just life in the Big Apple.
Mhm. Okay. Sammy the Bull.
Sammy the Bull, hey, you know, like again, Nick Turturro played Sammy the Bull. I don't know the guy personally. I never met him. But, again, he did what he had to do. I the guy didn't open up on me. He didn't open up on anybody I knew. You know, hey, he's a rat.
You know what? That's interesting, Vinny. I like to, Diane... Can you hear me?
Yes.
I know Sammy the Bull. He's out of the Witness Protection Program now. And I'm thinking, I don't know what I'm hearing. I'm hearing whispers that he's writing a book or whatever. See if we can get a hold of Sammy the Bull and see if he'll come on the show. And give me a number. See if we can find a number of who he's with, the publicist, manager, whatever. I want to get a hold of Sammy the Bull. What do you think, Vinny? Would you like to talk to Sammy the Bull?
Oh, I'd love to talk to Sammy the Bull. Actually, his daughter has a book out.
I think so. Let's get her. Let's get the Bulls.
Oh, maybe okay, we'll talk and then
to...
we'll then
you know,
be off.
But Brian, let me just say one thing. You know,
yeah.
I respect everybody, and I try to respect everybody. But
sure.
A lot of these people who are writing books, exception like Nick Gallucci. Nick, you know, he's my age, so he's been around. But you get a lot of these people. In other words, if you have an author on, and you want me to talk to him, and if he's 50 years or younger, I'm not talking to the fucking guy. He don't even fucking know what's going on.
I agree.
Because he was in a fucking, I mean, you got a lady, I don't want to mention her name, you got a lady who says her uncle was a big mobster in Chicago. The lady's 60 years old. How does she know anything this guy, she, you know, that's like my great nephew remembering that I changed his diapers when he was sick. They don't know anything. Never mind. One thing, they write a whole book on their uncle. You didn't know the fucking guy.
That's true. And they didn't know the business they were in. They kept it away from the kids and the nephews and the cousins.
Right. So they're all writing books. They're all experts. They don't know a fucking thing. I did it. I played it. I ate with these people. I sat with these people. And, you know, I'm not bragging about it. But in a way, I just want it to be known. I know these people. I know them. I talked to them. I ate with them. And, you know, I lived that lifestyle. Like I told you the other day, the guy Bruno. Now, all of this shit, I'm telling you, like I said, you Google it. So, what's his name? The killer guy, Kalinsky there.
Yeah,
Iceman.
Kalinsky.
Yeah, I was with the guy. Now you'll have somebody write a book on Kalinsky. You never even met the fucking guy. How are you going to write a book about him?
That's true. We're running out of time. I want to ask you a couple more questions. And I have everybody jump in really quickly. We're going back with the word association. Here we go. Richard Nixon.
Sneaky.
Ronald Reagan.
Stand-up guy.
The mayor of New York. Giuliani.
Giuliani? Nice guy. Great guy. He put a lot of wise guys away, though.
There was another mayor. Wasn't it started with a C, Cuomo, or I don't know.
Oh, God, Governor Cuomo. He was cool. Governor Cuomo, he's a great guy. He's a good guy, the father and the son.
All right. Let's go with Obama.
You know, he's a poor black man stuck in that position. And they're fucking the dog in his ass.
Let's go with Ronald Reagan.
Reagan? I tell you, I liked him. He wore the cowboy boots. You know, and of course he was an actor.
Let's go with the Republicans.
Republican, Democrat, Independent. Don't fucking mean nothing to me. They don't give a shit about us.
Let me ask you one more question. I know you're a very religious man. You are very faithful to your faith. You're very faithful to your family. You love your family. I know this. Everybody knows this. We had those questions. Let me ask you something. There's a question I've always been wondering. How can good Catholics, good Italian men and women, support the religion when they know that some priests are doing some bad things to some kids? How do you feel about that?
Well, you know what? Let me just say this. I, you know, forcing any child into that situation. The families should have done better.
Did I lose you, Vinny?
Yeah, you might have lost him.
Oh, okay. Well, Lee, wow. Guess what, Lee? Everybody dropped. It's only me and you here.
Oh, that is a riot. All right. Let's
everybody,
get together, Brian. What's up?
I know. It's just me and you.
I know. And I missed the first half hour.
Oh, my God.
Did you say anything
of
what I missed?
Oh, well, you missed... Vinny opened up to us and went through his childhood and his favorite things when he was 10 years old, when he was younger. He loved watching Roy Rogers.
I think I came in on that, yeah.
Yeah, so you basically heard everything.
Did you get all the information you wanted?
Well, yeah, almost. They're coming back in.
All right, what else you want him to know about him?
Well, you know what, Lee? This happened to me yesterday. I'll get in the middle of the interview. Everybody drops. I'm alone. You're the only one who survived. So it's me and you.
Yeah, I guess we'll carry on our conversation like we did this morning.
We sure will. Well, we're going to ask another conversation while we still have time. So who's
okay,
on your show
ahead.
Today, Lee?
You are.
Lee?
Yes.
Lee? Oh, there you are. You scared me.
Brian the Hammer Jackson is show, and we're going to get you. We're going to get you. You promised to tell all. You promised.
I promise. And I will.
Vinny's actually on call waiting, buzzing me.
Oh, my God. I'm going to let you go. Lovely Lee, the co-host of My Cousin Vinny, Vinny DeVingo.
And we'll talk to you later tonight. 7 o'clock, our time.
You got it. And thank you so much, Lee. I'll see you soon.
Thank you. Okay,
you're
bye-bye.
Welcome. Bye-bye. I will be on My Cousin Vinny's show tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're doing these shows that we switch. He's my guest. I will be his guest. And they have some interesting questions they're going to ask me, so I'm a little worried. Kelly Corbin, are you here?
I'm here.
Woo! Diane Mears Dillon, Jeffrey Bertrand, are you here?
I'm here.
What happened?
I don't know.
Excuse me.
Wow.
That's the second time. And we're getting into word association. There were some things I wanted to ask Vinny. I was getting to a point where what he thought about Trayvon Martin. I wanted to hear the word association, what he thought about him. I know he talked to him at length on his show. And everything like that. But, hey, maybe I'll ask him that question at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on My Cousin Vinny's show, Vinny DeVingo. I'm going to be a guest, Kelly.
So you don't get to ask questions. You have to listen and answer questions.
I know. That always makes me uncomfortable. I hope that you will come in. I was hoping Diane and Jeff will be there.
I'll try to be there.
What's today? Yeah, I know it's hard for you because Tuesdays are very hard. You got a lot of other things you got to do. But hopefully Jeff will be there and you will be there and Kelly, hopefully you'll stop in.
Okay.
Well, Jeff won't be here. He just left for the night.
Okay.
I'll try to call him, but that's usually when Dave gets home and depending if he needs the phone or not, but I'll try.
Oh, I understand. I understand completely. We're still live on the air. I hope you enjoyed our interview with Vinny DeVingo, and thank you for indulging me in my fantasy with the Actors Studio. Did I do okay?
Yeah, you did good.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. He's a very nice guy. I'm sorry?
You'll still be stuck on that island.
I know. Thank you, Diane. Let me ask you a very serious question. I always ask that, seriously. Diane, let's say, be honest, this is serious. Let's say, we're doing a show, Diane, and we're doing it off of Catalina Island in California. There's an island called Catalina, right?
Right.
And let's say we're setting up a location, and I got bit in the testicles by a poisonous snake.
I call 911.
Diane, I got 5 minutes to live.
Nice knowing you.
I'd be yelling
out. Thanks a lot, Kelly.
Seriously. Seriously.
I'm going
to
let you guys know this.
Stay alive to call the police. Why would we want poison in
our
system?
This is the difference between me and you. If you or Diane got bit in a private area with a snake, I would be the first one to suck it out. Well, let's go to a commercial break. Yes, hello, folks. This is the spirit of Brian. We are going to play a commercial now, and here we go. Let's cue it again, Miss Diane, please. That commercial. I just saw it right here. Okay. Oh, hello, folks. Yeah, really. Let's have a can of wine while we're waiting. You know, it's fun. Thank you, Diane. That hit the spot. Oh, don't mind if I do. Break time.
Break time. Everything to you.
Thank you. You know, folks, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking the government is shut down. That's right. For 1 minute, can you guys imagine working somewhere and your boss is there, you're depending on your paycheck, whatever, you know this. And your boss belongs to this big company, let's say Apple, and maybe there's some stockholders there. And the stockholder says, you know what, the stockholders, we don't like this new Apple iPhone, this iPhone 5. I don't like the colors. And you say, well, we can fix the colors. And they go, no. I want a whole new design. We don't like these colors. Well, we can try to work this out, but it's good for everybody because it's a discount rate. Because if you buy the color iPhone, it's cheaper than the other ones they have, which is the gold and whatever, whatever. But this is for the people. No. I want to shut down this production. What? If you shut down this production, a lot of people are not going to get paid. A lot of people are not going to have a phone. Well, we don't care about that. We just don't like that one feature on this phone. This one feature bothers me. It is not this particular phone. If it goes to a particular area, we're not getting great reception. And the other guy says, but it's not about that. It's about the overall view that people can use a phone. It's about people who can be connected and people can get paid because we got millions of people who are working and they count on the production of this new iPhone with the colors. We don't care about them. You know, nobody's going to leave us. We're Apple. We're Republicans. We're going to do this. Well, what are we going to do? Well, here's what we're going to do. See, the people are morons. Well, we all agree on that. Do you agree with that, Bob? Yeah, I agree with that. How about you, Bill? Yeah, I agree with that. How about you, Linda Lou? Yes, they are stupid. Right. Remember who we are. We are Republicans. Yeah. And what we got to do is we got Hillary Clinton coming up. Yeah, that bitch. Hoozy slut. Yes, all right, calm down, Republicans. We got to think. We have a duty. And when I come back, after I make it, we're going to make my point. I'll hold it. We have the duty, as us Republicans, to make this president an example for the world. We have a duty, no matter what good it may cause for the American people, we have a duty to destroy him. That's our plan. That's why we made friends with our new friend. Ladies and gentlemen, let's open up the door to our new friend. Hello, new friend. Hi, I'm the Tea Party. Oh, welcome, new friend. I hate him, too. We love you. High five. What can we do? Well, I'm a member of the Tea Party, and I agree. We have to do any means necessary to destroy him. And then the Republicans are saying, well, let's not be so harsh. We don't want to destroy him. We want to just make things extremely difficult. No, no, we're the Tea Party. We must destroy him. Oh, just keep it down. But what about the people? The people are morons. Are you kidding me? They voted for Sarah Palin and they voted for Michelle. What's her name? Bachman. But her husband has a counseling group that's trying to turn gay people into straight people when he's gay. How stupid are they? The Republicans. That's true. That's true. The people can't see through that. We are the Republicans. So what's our plan? Our plan is simple. Anything that he does, we make sure it does not go through. Yes, you in the back. You have a question. Ted, stand up.
Well, I have a question. I looked at this health plan and everything. It doesn't seem so bad. I think what we do is if we do this, we're going to commit suicide. We're already having a hard time.
Oh, shut up, Ted. Get out of here.
Oh, sorry.
Sit down.
And then it begins. Anything. It's not about your people. Don't be morons. You're a fucking moron. When I don't care if you're a Republican, I don't care if you're a Libertarian, I don't care who the fuck you are. And if you are lucky enough to have health care, bravo. Because 90,000, about 45, 65, maybe even higher percent of Americans do not have it. And then, you know, people think, we're not going to have it. Okay, fine, we won't have it. Give us, the people are not helped, the insurance companies are giving everybody an enema. And the insurance companies are very, with the lobbyists in the White House. They don't want this health plan. No. Are you kidding me? They will lose millions, sometimes billions with a B, if this health plan goes in. They will lose billions of dollars. Open your freaking eyes, morons. It's not about Obama. This is about the insurance companies. And the Republicans are licking their asses. But the Republicans don't care about the insurance. No, they care about destroying Obama. Even if it's forsaking the American people, it's good for the American people. We don't want this president to do anything that has anything to do They do good with the American people. We want to smash him. We want to destroy him. Even if you American people suffer, that's our plan. That's what we're going to do. This is why the government is shut down. Thank you. We got 60 seconds. Kelly, Corbin, Diane Mears-Dillon, really quickly, debate.
I'm just glad I'm getting my Social Security check.
That's right. And this president, while these Republicans try to shut it down, I'm going to tell you live on the air. I hope I have it. Obama came on and says, you military servicemen are getting your checks. He signed it in law, not the Republicans. Those are the ones who are shutting down the government. But Obama came on and says, you military fighting men, you will not be forsaken. You're getting your checks. That's what Obama did. So just look at what he did compared to what the Republicans are doing. Kelly Corbin.
That's true.
I want to thank my cousin Vinny DeVito.
Vinny De DeVingo. Vinny D-E Vingo for coming on being my special guest today. I want to thank the lovely Lee for coming on being my special guest today. Thank you, Diane Mayers Dillon, Jeffy Bertrand, and Kelly Corbin for being here today.
You're
welcome. Thank you, Brian.
You are so welcome. I am Vinny's special guest live on the air in about 3 hours. And I hope you tune in. I hope you support his show as well as you support mine. And thank you so very much. We are independents just like you are. Our shows are open to you, independents. We are the platform for you. And you use us because we will support you. We hope you support us because without the letter U, there is no us. And you have to have the U and the S for us. So without you, there's no us.
Sounds like Sesame Street.
That's right. I am Brian the Hammer Jackson, and I approve of this message.
As well you should.
Love you, Diane.
Love you too, babe.
Love you, Kelly Corbin.
Love you too, Brian.
And in the words of Brad Pitt, you tell me that this isn't America.
You are a cynical bastard, you know that.
To reclaim the American dream and reaffirm that fundamental truth that out of many we are one.
You hear that line? Line's for you. Don't make me laugh. For one people. It's a myth created by Thomas Jefferson. Oh, now you never go with Jefferson, huh? My friend, Jefferson's an American saint. Because he wrote the words, all men are created equal. Words he clearly didn't believe since he allowed his own children to live in slavery. He was a rich wine snob who was sick of paying taxes to the Brits. So yeah, he wrote some lovely words and aroused the rabble, and they went out and died for those words. While he sat back and drank his wine and fucked his slave girl. This guy wants to tell me we're living in a community. Don't make me laugh. I'm living in America, and in America you're on your own. America's not a country. It's just a business. Now fucking pay me.
The best things in life are free, but you can give them to the birds and bees. I keep on.
That's right, baby. This is America. And I am an American. This boy's on fire. Good night, everybody. Thank you.
You're just a girl and she's on fire.
Yeah.
Hotter than a fantasy, lonely like a highway. She's living in a world and it's on fire. Filled with catastrophe, but she knows she can fly away.
just a girl and I'm on fire.
You calling yourself a girl now?
Hey, I'm on fire. So when I bend over, you see my little pink pretty little panties? Fire!
Fire in the hole.
Ow! We went there, didn't we, Diane? Kelly, what do you think of that remark?
I'm totally disgusted.
What'd you say, Kelly? Sorry.
I said I'm totally disgusted.
Ah, you guys are too funny. Well,
yeah,
we're
well,
going to leave.
Tomorrow for the Kelly and Diane show.
Yeah, really? Oh, that's right. We didn't get a chance to play Password with Vinny, did we?
Oh,
that would have been funny, especially with him and Lee here. That would have been so funny.
Oh, yeah, they would have been a good team.
Well, we got to do a part two, and we got to leave enough room in for Password to see if Kelly and Diane can hold their championship. And we'll do that later on. This is Tuesday, Brian the Hammer Jackson Show, MVP on Demand. We got a lot of good things coming up. Kelly's been working very hard in the MVP on Demand store. Kelly, before we leave, would you like to tell some of the items that we sanctioned off and decided to put our name on?
Well, so far working on some leather Italian leather handbags, a new clothing line, a picnic blanket, some gloves, some perfumes. We got all kinds of different things going on right now. A lot of
and
new items will be going up in the store soon.
Exactly, candy. But the store is not going to be a crappy store. These are all high sale. When we call foofy items, these are items you will find in Beverly Hills and stuff like that, right, Kelly? We went upscale.
Yes, we did. We even have a wedding collection.
Oh, Diane, you should see these wedding dresses. Oh, my God. They are absolutely gorgeous. And I sound like a gay guy. Fabulous!
You'd be like Randy and say yes to the dress.
Yes to the dress. They are great.
One of the
wedding
shows
dresses. I can
they
tell.
Are.
But they are so beautiful, Diane. And we could put our, it'll be the MVP collection. And they are gorgeous. These are, like we said, the top of the line. We went into the top of the line fabrics, top of the line cut. Italian leather, nothing but the best. We're going high-end. And the wholesalers were us. We didn't want to overprice it, but we didn't want to put no more of those T-shirts in there. If you see a jacket in there, and if you see a T-shirt in there that has anything that Kelly made, that, we just put our name on it. But these are high-end items that you would go shopping in Italy or Rodeo Drive or whatever, New York, Manhattan. Those are the items that are going to be in the MVP on Demand store. They're going to be layaway plans, and we're working with the wholesalers. So it's not a third-party thing where you can go to a site and say, okay, put your name on it. All right, we'll ship it out, and this is it. No, it's hands-on. It's just like if I was in the bathroom by myself and nobody's home. Hands-on.
Wow.
I think I went too far.
Yeah, you crossed the line again.
But it still has the same result, a happy ending. I fixed it. You see what I did there?
So proud.
Thank you.
Thank God we're an archive.
I know. If you've never experienced archives before, here's what happens. We do our show live. When it gets caught off on live, we go in archives. Then we're like girlfriends and boyfriends and friends. We're just talking. It's not going to be a PC thing. It's almost like the bonus features in the DVR. You know?
Uh-oh, I'm reaching my time zone.
Diane usually leaves right about now. tomorrow on the show, Wednesday, do we have anything planned, Kelly Kenz?
No, not tomorrow. We don't.
That's right. That's my pet name to Kelly. When I do something bad, I have to kiss up to her. She's my Kellykins.
Aw, how cute.
Yeah. Well, that's only supposed to be private. I'm sorry, Kelly. It did slip out. I'm sorry. Wait a minute. Wait. Oh, Diane, you did not say that. Jesus.
Yes, I did.
Yes, you did.
What'd
you
say?
A minute, Oprah's here. Oprah's here. Oprah? Oprah. What are you mad about this time, Oprah? What about this nervous breakdown? Well, yeah, well, I have my own problems. Well, maybe if you publicize own, people will block it. I need to know. Oprah, I'm not. Hey, watch your language, Oprah. I hate it when she comes in pissed off. Damn, Oprah.
I just love when you play that Chewbacca and say it's Oprah.
That's Oprah.
Because I can so see it.
She's just a girl that's on fire.
Oh, no.
Now, Cher is in concert, ladies and gentlemen. So all you gay guys, dust off your boots. Dust off your pants, your parachute pants. Get those tighty-whities tight.
So this morning.
Excuse me. Well, we're going to go out because we got to give something for the gays. Ladies, and I always want to do it. I want to thank my guests again, Vinny Davingo, the lovely Lee, and thank all of you for tuning in. And thank you, Mr. Shabazz. I know you're listening. And thank you, people. We are getting bigger. We got ratings. I got on my I was telling Kelly I got on my fan page, and I hate to use that word fan page, but okay. And the first thing it said to me, it says, Brian the Hammer is 95% popular. Well, I'm not used to that because usually I'm like, they usually greet me like, Brian Hammer, who? Well, anyway, I saw, and thanks to you guys, you made me popular. You hear that, Oprah? I am popular. I'm even more popular than Oprah because Oprah had all. Oprah? No. Well, F you too. Shut up. I hate it when she gets pissy. Hear that? I am sorry for the language Oprah has been using on our show. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, live from Gay Paris, Cher. Sing it, baby.
I was born in the wagon of a traveling show. My mama had to dance for the money they throw. Mama would do whatever he could.
I'm gay, push me.
Preach your little gospel. Sell a couple bottles of Dr. Good.
Shake it, Cher. I look just like you.
And lay the money down.
That's right, Cher, baby. You're still a tramp as far as I'm concerned. Rock on, baby!
She's not a tramp.
Cher was a tramp. Come on.
No.
Allman Brothers. Sonny.
Well.
She wanted the Bono.
She
would Bono anything she could. What about
Oh, no, not the Bono.
Oh, she wanted the Bono. What about that guy she was dating? Wasn't she dating a pizza boy at one time? It was a young guy?
She was dating a real young guy. And I think it was after the Almond Brother guy.
Right. After she had her Almond Joy. You know, this is good stuff, and nobody even gives a shit.
Because I'm getting creative, and nobody's carried.
Kelly, I could almost hear Kelly shaking her head. But, yeah, the guy was a pizza boy, wasn't he?
She wanted her delivery in less than 30 minutes.
I knew Diane would come around. She left her big Bono and got an Almond Joy, and she wanted her delivery in less than 30 minutes. Why buy a pizza when you could do the pizza boy? A slice of that.
Free pizza.
Yeah, baby.
Now, be all nice. Right, both my boys work at a pizza place.
Hey, for boys, pizza is great. You know how many people that you deliver to and they're lonely divorcees and they're sitting there and they're asking, would you like to come in for a tip or maybe a slice?
Hey, these kids make pretty good tip money.
Tip money?
T-I-
I just want to clarify it.
T-I-P.
Ah. Well, I'm sure they do. I'm sure they do. It's a good job. It's a hard job, too, to be a pizza delivery guy. It's a cool job. If I was a kid, what cool job would you want when you're a teenager? Yeah, I know you're girls, but let's just say what it is. It doesn't mean it doesn't pay much. Just say cool job. Kelly Corbin, what cool job would be for a teenage girl?
I don't know. It's been a long time since I've been a teenage girl.
Let's pretend.
Maybe working at a tanning salon.
Hey,
or
that could be
pool?
Interesting. That's pool. No, that's the guy, pool boy. But tanning salon's
no,
interesting.
I'm talking about like an amusement swim park.
I would think that would be annoying hearing the kids scream all the time, and it would get on your nerves. You get no peace. I think that would be annoying, but that's interesting. How about you, Kelly? I mean, Diane, before you leave, what do you think a cool job for a teenager would be? Boy or girl?
For a girl, probably working in a clothing store like Forever 21 or something like that.
Hmm.
To get the discount on all the clothes.
How about a boy?
Probably like what my kids are doing.
Probably. I think that's cool. I got the ultimate cool job for the teenagers. And when I say teenagers, I say from 16 to 27. The ultimate cool job. You want to hear it?
Yep.
Being one of these guys who practice these gamers, you know, where they do these games, these PlayStation games or Xbox game, and they need testers, and they sit there all day testing out these new games that come out, and they get paid for it.
There was a place right here in, I think, Agora. I think it's shut down now, but there was the kids wanted to go work there.
Uh-huh.
Because all they do is just sit and play all the new games and give their opinions if they were going to be good or not.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, guys, we're leaving. Do you guys, we're going to leave Cher because she was in concert, that little tramp. Let's go. Cher, ladies and gentlemen. Get your glow sticks together. Get your blow sticks so you can smell. Or what is the thing that the gay guys used to break? What did they huff? Remember the thing in the 80s they used to do that?
I have no idea.
In the clubs they used to have.
For it.
You're being. Oh, that was a shot, wasn't it, Kelly? I'll kick you right out of the Cher concert, ladies and gentlemen.
Wait a minute.
A woman who's built like a boy. Cher! If I could turn back time. Come on, baby.
If I could turn back time.
Oh, yeah.
If I could find a way.
Dance with me, baby. Dance with me, baby. This is my theme.
I don't know why I did the things I did.
Kelly hears this song, she knows it, love me. Hi, Kelly.
What's up?
I said with these songs, with this word, you understand these words. What is Diane? Kelly with me.
I'm
That should be my song to you guys every day.
I just posted that song the other day, too. That's weird.
Yeah.
No, because those words are so true in that song.
They are. They are. They are. Seems like we will learn our lesson. I want to tell you about a lesson. And we are going to go. Let me tell you about a guy. He's anonymous. Let's just call him the Hammer.
The Yammer.
We'll just call him Shoeless Joe.
Shoeless Joe. Shoeless Joe from Alamo. Anyway. He met this little girl who was a princess. Let's just call her Kelly Corbin. And she had an evil stepsister. Let's just call her Diane Mary Dillon.
Oh, God. Now you're starting to sound like what's-her-name that used to work with you guys.
And when these two got together, I knew something was wrong. They became a powerful duo. And this is what I felt. And then we're going to leave. When
I'm talking with Charles Ramsey. He's a neighbor.
I did.
Walk me through again what happened this afternoon.
I knew something was wrong when a little pretty white girl ran into a black man's arms. Dad gave away. Dad gave away. My neighbor got big tentacles because we see this dude every day. We eat ribs.
We eat ribs.
But we didn't have a clue. Hit that girl in that house. She said, please help me get out. Dad gave away. Dad gave away.
Give away.
My neighbor got big tentacles, cause we see this dude every day.
We didn't have a clue.
Hit that girl up in that house. She said, please help me get out. So I open the door, we can't get in that way. The body can't fit through the door, only your hand. So we kick the bottom. And she comes out and she says, there's some old girls up in that house. Call 911 and they called
at McDonald's.
I knew something was wrong when a little pretty white girl ran into a black man's arms.
Dead giveaway.
My neighbor got big tentacles because we see this dude every day. We eat ribs
with this dude.
But we didn't have a clue that that girl was in that house. She said, please help me get it out.
Let me out.
Dead giveaway.
There you go.
Giveaway.
We eat ribs with this dude, but we didn't have a clue.
Dead giveaway.
Good night, you guys. We'll see you tomorrow.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Good night, Brian.
Bye. Bye, Kelly. Bye, Diane. Love you guys.
Good night, John like Boy. Good night, Mary Ellen.
Good night.
Night, Grandpa.
Oh, Grandpa!
Thing I ever said.
This is for you.
Don't be an idiot. Changed my life. Whenever I'm about to do something, I think, would an idiot do that? And if they would, I do not do that thing.
Okay.
Don't do that thing.
Bye, sweetheart. See you tomorrow.
Bye. Bye.